HMMC.
You're listening to the WYE Radio Network.
This week we're going to get in the Wayback Machine and ask MC about pivotal points in his career.
Hey.
Almost couldn't say pivotal.
Pivotal.
The podcast that responds to all emergencies on and off the job.
And now here are your hosts, Pivot. Motor Cop and the Happy
Pivot.
Man.
Pivot!
G'day, mate.
Only 90s kids will understand.
That's true. Well, shall we
give
it a burl?
Ooh, give it a burl.
Give it a burl.
Give it a lighthearted attempt.
Oh, but it doesn't have any adjectives in it.
No qualifiers to attempt.
It's pretty close. Try it out.
Well, a burl, a twirl.
Try it out. Give it a burl.
Give it a field test. See if it plays.
There you go.
See if it plays. The Will Ferrell SNL skit where he's trying out the cat toy and he crawls up on the desk.
Oh, yeah.
Give it a field test, yeah.
I like it.
So I do want to ask you some things because I got asked by someone, what was it like the first time you brought somebody back from the dead on the ambulance? And I was like, whoa, this, man, I really had to think about it. And it
they
kind
were
of took
only
me back.
Mostly dead.
Only mostly dead. I've seen worse. So I've got some questions that I want to ask you about your
career. Blathe.
you were gambling. Yeah. When did this become a Princess Bride appreciation podcast?
I don't know.
But I wanted to start the show with some news that I just want to get your feedback on this because I call shenanigans.
Oh, okay.
This is from the Associated Press. This was updated May 7th, which just happened. Out of New York.
Yeah, it did.
A captain in New York City's Department of Corrections suffered burns and smoke inhalation when her body camera suddenly caught fire.
What?
Prompting the department to stop using the equipment pending an investigation. The captain was on duty at Rikers Island Jail Complex Friday when her body-worn camera ignited without warning.
No, it didn't.
Correction Department spokesman Morales said. So, yeah. The first comment on the story when I saw it was, yeah, it caught fire after holding a lighter to it for 2 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe you shouldn't light that smoke so close to it, huh?
In all of your flashing fingers on a radio show,
yeah.
Years in law enforcement, and Officer Axon being there for another flashing years.
All of them? Yeah,
how many
never,
body
none,
cameras
none.
Have you heard of?
None. Well, this would make
this would be
the big
first one.
Now,
root cause analysis. What do we do? We go to the camera and we try to determine what happened.
Nope.
Faulty battery.
Nope. I can already tell you what happened. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. She did some silly shit she shouldn't have been doing and realized, oh, damn, it's been caught on camera. Let's light this bitch on fire.
So I was going to go
another
direction.
That is what happens. I don't need data for that.
Because the very first thing I would do if a body camera caught on fire is not remove all the body cameras. It would be determine what caused the fire. Oh,
sure.
The battery was dented, or you didn't charge it properly, or you were wearing it in an oven. I don't know. But my first reaction...
You jumped into the lake in Mordor.
Listen to this. My first reaction would not be to remove 3,400 cameras assigned to all uniform staff.
Safety first. Safety first. Which leads me to this question. If there is some sort of malfunction in a firearm, that's corrections. They don't carry guns. But if you're doing, perimeter searches or sweeps, or you're in the guard tower or whatever, you're going to have a firearm.
Okay.
Let's say there's an ND, a negligent discharge, or an AD, an accidental discharge.
Yeah.
Do you pull all the guns?
Yes. Safety.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
So
what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Here's what I was thinking when I read this story was this is a bunch of people sitting around a table saying, how can we get rid of these cameras? Well, I mean, what if one of them caught on fire and somebody got hurt? Oh, they'd totally take them away. All right. And then it was who draws the short straw. From what I understand, the captain is in okay condition, released from the hospital. You know, really play it up with the smoke inhalation.
Let's pretend for a moment that it actually spontaneously combusted. Let's go with the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
Okay. A thing on your chest is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
shoot it.
it doesn't explode or burst in flames. You know, it
overheats.
It overheats. It's man, something smells weird. You look down, it's smoking. I've heard where there's smoke, there's fire. Not always true, strictly speaking.
Incomplete process of combustion, yes.
But wouldn't you just take it off? Or if you see flames on your person, would you not just...
Now?
Slap them.
No, a little bit more. Now? Slap. No, let the uniform start to melt a little bit.
Yeah.
Now? Now.
This whole thing is bullshit.
Smelly. Super smelly. So yeah. I read the story and I thought...
That's dumb.
I can't put this in an ask because you'll never get it. Like, why... You know, hey, MC, why did Rikers Island Correctional Facility remove all 3,400 body-worn cameras for their staff? You'd never get
No.
That they claim one caught on fire.
Yeah, that's a pretty good ask, though. That's a pretty good ask.
Well, it's a gimme, though. I would get there's no way you'd get the portion of the doubloon. So, and just to finish off the story here, spokespeople for Reveal Media, the manufacturer of the camera, did not respond to requests for comment.
Oh, hang on,
because they're laughing.
Did they get 3,400 and however many cameras off of Timu?
They may have.
You know what I'm saying? Because you didn't say Axon.
No.
You said a different company.
Yes, this is Reveal Media.
They went with the lowest bid.
Possibly.
Maybe that thing did catch fire.
So let's say that they did. And it did, like, we're still going with the, we're going to let them have it.
Yeah, it smells terrible. It smells terrible.
So bad. Yeah. Yeah. This
mostly from the burning cadmium, but whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. So what I want to jump into today is, you know, when I got this question about what was it like the first time you brought somebody back from the dead, and it was, of course, a question from someone that's like, oh, you're a paramedic. I bet you see some crazy stuff. I was like, no, don't ever ask us that question. But what I
get the, do you ever shoot anybody?
Exactly. Like, yeah. You ever kill anybody?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Nope. Not
later
yet.
Later today.
Yeah, not yet, but I'm looking at you, Billy.
Yeah. So I just have a couple questions here, and I just want to see if it sparks anything nostalgic for you or really gets in the Wayback Machine or makes you say, you know what? This podcast is over.
I've been thinking that for years.
So I want to start with one that we all have roadblocks and inspirations on the way to the three disciplines. There's always somebody that
inspirations.
Like my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Edelstein, who said, you'll never be a paramedic. You'll never be smart enough.
Wow.
Yeah. I
now,
always,
hang on. Did you want to be a paramedic in the fifth grade?
My dad was a fireman. Of course I did.
You wanted to be a fireman, not a paramedic.
No, I wanted to be Johnny and Roy.
Okay.
I wanted to be a paramedic, but didn't want to deal with the paperwork and the continuing education and the
the actual certifications, job.
What the job turned into. So I very clearly, every time I get down, I'm like, wherever she is, I just want to show up and be like,
suck it.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll show you.
So I wanted to ask you if you can think about someone before your law enforcement career outside of your family inspired you. Who inspired you towards public service? Is there anyone you can think of that pops into your head that you thought, hey, maybe I can do this?
Outside of the family? No. Yeah. No, not a soul.
All right, inside the family.
Dad. Oh. Dad, that's easy. But he was a firefighter. I went to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that I got when I moved to San Diego and for a girl, and then she broke up with me 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anybody. I didn't have a job. I mean, I had nothing. And fast forward, not even a tan, nine months ish. I got accepted to UC San Diego and they were hiring for a records dispatcher a records clerk. So I applied. It was like $11 an hour. And
were you pulling staples out of old reports?
No,
did
I was actually
go full circle.
No, I was actually doing actual things that were purposeful.
These were important things. But yeah, wait, I mean, you were making, hold on, you were making how much?
Like $11.75. Well,
this is the early 90s, right?
Early mid, yeah.
That is 95. Stack of cash, sir.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my first fireman job was $4.35 an hour.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Records, San Diego.
From July to November, I did that.
I bet
and
your
then,
rent was like $200.
My last year in San Diego, me and a buddy split up an apartment, a dual master. Which was the place was awesome.
That's
and
epic.
We each paid maybe $600.
Wow.
Yeah. $1,200
insane.
To live in Mira Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
Sick. Anyway. So, dispatch supervisor comes in. He's like, hey, when you applied initially over the summer, did you apply for dispatch? I said, no. And he's like, well, would you be interested? And I said, I don't know. And he's like, pays a, you know, $1.50 more an hour. I'm like, I'm in.
In those days, that was a big deal.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
So I ended up making like, whatever, $12.50, $12.75, something like that, an hour. And then I did that for a couple of years before I popped smoke and dropped out and quit my job and went to England for a month and then came back and finished out.
There you go.
Funny enough, I went to England to hang out with the same girl that brought up. Yeah, so that's a whole other thing.
I was
going to
say,
do we
go that direction? But yeah,
it's a whole other thing.
You shared it with everybody.
And then the big one, the big call that got me to want to be in the field and not in a room, in those days, dispatch was just one person. If you were lucky and it was a big event going on, you'd have two, one for attack channel, one for the main.
Yeah.
So at any given time, I'm answering 911 calls, dispatching officers, running people out and dealing with somebody at the front counter all at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is funny. When I got
go away.
My hiring interview, they're like, how are you at multitasking? I just start laughing. I'm like, oh, sweetie. But anyway, we get this 911 call. It's like one in the morning and it was a, couldn't understand a word she was saying. It was a female and sob, 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 sob. He tried to rape me. Sob, 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 sob. And long story short, we get the bad guy and I get to meet the victim later. I stayed over to, you know,
powerful.
Record tapes and whatever. And, and they said, hey, can you, I need to go do something. Can you sit with the vic real quick? Yeah, sure. So they introduced me. Hey, this is the dispatcher you spoke to. And she was beside herself thanking me.
That's awesome.
And sure, it truly was. But the selfish part of me was like, that adrenaline rush, oh my God, I need yeah. more of that.
Yeah, there's no one else who's felt that way in the disciplines.
I actually said that in my hiring interview. Why do you want to be, help people? And the standard answer, which isn't not true.
Yeah.
But then I told him, hey, here's the other side of that coin. Like, I dug
Let
the adrenaline.
Let me be honest with you.
Yep, totally. Yeah.
So staying on the adrenaline kick here, tell me about your first pursuit on the bike.
Oh God, it wasn't a pursuit, but it was a code 3 call and we had just gotten the Honda. So it wasn't necessarily my first one, but this is the first thing that popped to my mind.
That's what I'm looking for. Yep.
And I'm at I remember the intersection I was at. It was on, Crow and the Boulevard, which means nothing to most of you. And we'd only had the new Hondas for like a week. And we get this detail. So I hit the
this
lights.
Was right after you're like, you did that big long drive up into the mountains and everything.
Oh, yeah. They paid partner and I to go out to Stinson, out to Yosemite for the break-in, which is a legit thing.
Got
to
put the miles on the bike, yeah.
Yeah. Carl and I went down to pick up the Beamers in Long Beach and took 2 days to drive up the coast. They put us in the most romantic place to stay. And I'm like, why am I here with you? It's pretty funny. So anyway, I hit the lights. Read the engine. I just let go of the clutch, and the front wheel comes up off the ground. I'm like, oh God. So I rode, it was probably a foot and a half. It felt like all the way across the intersection with my wheel at 45 degrees.
So I wonder if anybody watching was like, oh, here we go.
What you heard was, I got there. I, if memory serves, I did beat everybody.
Got you there pretty quick.
Yeah.
Right on.
That's a good bike.
You told us a story about, you know, why you wanted to get into it and that adrenaline rush and everything. I want to kind of go in a different direction here real quick. You're on the high of flying away on the new bike. Can you think of a moment where you just kind of stopped, looked around and questioned everything?
Oh yeah. There was the morning that Kenyon Youngstrom was shot on 680. I was at coffee with a buddy and it's whatever, 8 o'clock in the morning in Danville. 680 is a parking lot because traffic.
The main thoroughfare through this area.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we literally were walking away from Starbucks. We just finished our second lineup. And we get the 1199 call, which is bad things are happening. Mm-hmm. Everybody
go, 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 go. Yeah.
So my buddy looks at me and he's like, you're on the bike. Go. And I'm well retired now, so I can say all the policies I violated. Traffic on northbound was at a standstill. And so I'm in the center divide doing about 105 miles an hour.
No.
If somebody pulls in front of me, I'm well and proper screwed. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm done.
Yeah.
Super done. Obviously nothing happened. I got there and it was, a bad scene. But I do remember having that conscious thought of, if anybody, and I've already gone 200 feet while I'm thinking that, if anybody pulls in front of me, that's it. I'm punching my ticket. And my next thought was, I don't give a shit. Get there.
Yeah.
And I mean, going in the center divide, bad idea. Going at that speed, terrible idea. But sometimes you do the things that you know you're not supposed to do for a better reason. I don't know. My getting there, and here's the crux of it. My getting there did not do anything. It did not help. The situation was already over. The bad guy was done.
Yeah.
He was dead. And other people were already working on Kenyon. It's not like I felt like an eighth wheel.
Well, you don't know until you get there.
No, you don't. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that was that one moment of, perhaps this is not the best plan.
All right, let me turn it around. And on kind of the same vein, a time where you were just in the zone and you kind of looked around afterwards and said, man, I love this job.
That one does involve a pursuit that was not my pursuit. But it was a buddy that was chasing after somebody, just a warrant. I mean, a nothing thing. It was not a big deal. But we've been after the guy for a while. And I was on the bike. Everybody else is in cars. Way easier for me to get around.
I've seen Chips.
Yeah. So they're about to call the pursuit, and the car's northbound on 680, gets off at Stone Valley. And disappears. So, damn it. So I get off, I go right, and then I make my first left. I'm going to go see up here.
Yeah.
It's this long, a hilly, windy road. I get to the top. I find the car, driver's side door open, dude gone. And this lady walk out of the house. I'm like, where'd this guy go? And she's like, that way. Cool. So our canine officer, Emily, shows
right
up.
Out of a Western.
Oh, yeah.
You got a back door to this place? Yeah, it's around the back.
Our canine officer, Emily, shows up with the dog, and we go tromping through the woods. And it was like springtime, and I did not take my allergy meds that
morning.
I'm
really getting the visual here of you in the motor boots kind of in slow motion running, and the dog is just full out sprint right next to you.
No, dog was on lead and, you know, doing the trailing thing.
Uh-huh.
And we almost walked right by dude. He was hunkered down, and he was way down in this canyon. And we were on the trail for probably 10, 15 minutes. We're tooling along, and all of a sudden, the dog just goes whoosh, to the, you know, 90 degrees to the right, and dude was like 3 feet away.
Oh, wow.
And just got him, and that was pretty great. The best part of all of that, not one word of a report did I have to write.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It was brilliant.
That's one of the things I loved about being the captain on some of these scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Just this hectic chaos.
Yep.
We get to the hospital and drop them off. I'm like, man, you guys did an amazing job.
See ya.
Let me help you turn the car. So we get the ambulance ready to go, and I see the medic pulling out the computer. See ya.
Yeah.
I did have to do some documentation, but just that visual of you running through a springtime field with a dog.
Wildflowers, butterflies.
I'm sure that our regular listeners are really struggling to picture that. Right.
Oh, yeah. I did take the time to take off the helmet and
the shake.
Yeah, get the shake going. So as I'm running and the wind is blowing, the hair is just doing its thing. Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
Glorious.
You know what else is blowing in the wind? Iron Flame, book two.
Oh, okay.
In the Dragon Riding series, Rebecca Yarros. I finally got into that.
I'm over halfway through the first one. I'm enjoying it.
Picked it up at the Half Price Books.
Oh, perfect.
Dropped it off.
There you go.
So I'm doing the dual book, one at home, one at work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just because I forgot my book a couple times, as we've covered on the show. And the wife's like, can I read the book too? I won't move your bookmark. I'll use my own. Okay. She's pretty much done with it already.
The second one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're acting out the scenes, or no?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but the
Can't find a dragon.
Can't find a dragon. But no, it's fun to get back into that universe. It really is. Just the turmoil of it, some of the political stuff, and the, you know, your mom's the general but hiding something, and
And all the relic,
it's a cool
the
universe.
Relic markings.
Yeah.
And, yeah. There's some mystery stuff. I'm like, okay, I can kind of see where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, she's gonna bang Rierson. I get
Obviously.
It. Yeah. Come on. You think it's gonna be Dane for a while? No. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
No.
But now we're going back, and you know, the guy we thought was our friend turned out to be a spy.
Oh, whoa! I am not that far yet.
I didn't say a name.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
What are you reading?
What
do you got?
I'm still doing the first Iron, whatever, the fourth wing.
Yeah,
so I've got that on my Kindle app. About 2/3 way through Wolves of the Cala.
Mm-hmm.
I just got for my birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to me. 52, everybody. The Concordance for the Dark Tower I got from MCLit number 1. MCLit number 3 got me Joe Posilansky's The 100 Greatest Baseball Players.
Hmm.
So it goes through his top 100
All
folks.
Right.
Spoiler alert, Ichiro Suzuki was number 100.
Hmm.
There you go.
Interesting.
Yeah, and he talks about their past and their accomplishments, and so you get to know the player a little bit. Even their, you know, most of them are. Yeah.
Is he a pitcher? Dodgers 18.
Suzuki?
Yeah.
No, he played for the Mariners.
Okay.
Early 90s.
All right, because a video popped up on my feed of a Dodgers pitcher that's supposed to be this phenom against the Marlins.
Yamamoto.
Might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's coming up, and MLB TV puts up.
Says
the,
it's going to be a
no-hitter
alert.
Warning. First pitch, ding, home run.
Dinger. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I showed it to the wife. She goes, well, scratch that off the board.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
For all of you keeping score.
Yeah. I did see that this morning, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. But you're off to a game today, aren't you?
Yeah. I think I'm going to be.
You got tickets for a game, anyway.
I got tickets for a game. Yeah.
Wearing an A's hat.
A's Rangers and the A's shirt.
There you go.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wife's not, a little under the weather, so she's not going to go. So
got a lot of that going around. The wife got knocked down for a couple days, and then Junior was down
MCLit number
the other day.
Two has just asked me, can I come home? But she's got tech week because she interns for her acting academy for the lower aged kids.
Okay.
And she's got a crap ton to do this week. And they are keeping these kids out until 10 p.m. on a school night.
That's nuts.
She goes to school all day long. Mm-hmm. We pick her up, take her directly from school to the venue, and pick her up either, you know, 9:45. If one of the kids from there brings her home, where you're looking at 10:30, 10:45 for she's
home.
Yeah, then she's got to eat something, and then she's got to take all of her damn pills. Dude, she doesn't get to bed before 11:15.
That's nuts.
Yeah,
that's
and she,
nuts. I mean,
all
dance
week
till 9:30 drives me nuts.
All week long. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Performance is on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah, things have changed.
I do have one other bullet for you.
What's that?
Bought myself a birthday present.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Is it here in the studio with us?
No, it's in the other room.
Is the present here with us?
No, it's me. I'm my own present. I got it's called a backbone. Shut up.
Took you long enough.
You slide your phone into it, and it becomes a gaming controller.
Oh, I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah, it's so I'm playing like Call of Duty. On my phone.
Duty.
But apparently, you can also connect it to like an iPad so I can have a bigger screen and still make it mobile. It doesn't slide around the iPad. See, you just use it.
Yeah, I wondered
wired.
About that when the Switch came out. So it's kind of like a Switch without
it's
the middle, right?
It's kind of like a Switch, but with good games.
Oh, there you go.
Not crappy Nintendo games. Offense, boop, 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 Nintendo. Boop, 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 boop. I mean, some of them are cool. You know, the Zelda ones are pretty.
It's a game about a plumber. Trying to find a princess.
Yeah. Who? What plumbers aren't?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the backbone. It's you're supposed to be able to hop on your PlayStation, play it remotely.
Mm-hmm.
I've tested it out in my living room.
Yeah.
But not like it in the city still connected to Wi-Fi. We'll find that out next week.
I was going
to
say
working the 13th to the 17th.
Yeah, you got a chance.
Oh, I found a new, I got a new
room report. We may have to add this to the Bolo.
Huh? No,
you find
no.
Another place?
Well, kind of. There's offices in San Bruno, and I don't have to drive to San Bruno. I can take BART to San Bruno. It's a 5-minute walk. So I have another location
that's nice.
That if they need fill in, boom.
There you go.
I'm your boy.
Yeah, you just got to listen to airplanes.
I don't care. Won't be able to hear them when I got earbuds in. I don't have to listen to a radio. I've got a little chat on my phone. So
yeah,
all I do
go.
Is look down at the phone every once in a while. And
oh, brilliant.
good to go. Good to go. Lucky. There you go.
Lucky. Well, until next time, guys, this is Justin the Happy Medic signing off for my good buddy MC from MCPD Studios. Watch out for those smoking body cameras. And yeah, be safe out there, gang. Cheers.
Cheers, y'all.